It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. It's Thursday. Face it, you can't do anything about it. Lean into it. Lean forward.
A very non-special Thursday. You and I were just talking about that. It was really interesting that, you know, once Congress is done and out and everything else, and the president announced, you know, the Increased Inflation Act, that everything sort of stopped yesterday.
Yeah,
it's like the news cycle just stopped.
Well, and we
except for Liz, you know, the Liz Cheney and thing and analysis there, and the fact that Mike Pence, when asked, said that if he was asked, he might consider testifying before the January 6th committee. And at that point, you knew, okay, this is a very slow news day.
Well, while I was doing show prep, I had to Google, is Joe Biden still president? It was just one of those. And we asked yesterday on the program, okay, what's going to happen now? Capitol Hill's on their August break. What happens between now and Labor Day with Biden? Well, I mean, you know, I think the vacation and the ice cream thing.
Yeah, he's back on vacation.
Well, and if you're going to ask Biden what flavor of ice cream is he going to get, ask the vice president, what kind of dressing are you going to have on your word salad, is the next question for her. Do you just send them out there to be the ribbon cutters and wave? You know, just go out and just wave. Don't say anything. Just
smile and wave.
Walk by and say hello.
Smile and wave.
Yeah. And Joe is, the other day when he was signing inflation.
That went viral.
Increasing Act.
That went viral yesterday.
People. He looking around like he's lost.
Yep.
You know, what was funny is that when he was handing the pin to, after he signed it, he was handing the pin to Joe Manchin. He had the look in his eye like, hey, Joe, you want to sign it too? he just was lost. And there's clearly somebody there in the front row giving him direction. Because he looks at this person, then all of a sudden, boom, he burst into a smile, which is somebody telling him, smile. Oh, my gosh, he looks lost. Tell him to smile. Tell him to smile.
Yeah, he really looked lost.
No,
he really looked
lost. And when he stood up, by the way, he stood up and he's reaching his hand out. Here's a guy who had, if you want to believe them, COVID twice in recent weeks. And he's reaching out and he's looking to shake somebody's hand and nobody moves in. And he is lost. There's no doubt he is lost. But wow, the aesthetics on that were horrible.
Well, I'll say this from yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if you hear no more from Democrats about the Increase in Inflation Act.
Yeah, no, I
wouldn't be surprised if there was nothing more on it. It's like, okay, move on from it. Don't talk about it. You can't win the polling, as you have seen. I'm assuming you've seen it. The polls just over the last 48 hours are now going in the opposite direction for Biden. The polls are moving the other way. The ones that came out yesterday, I don't know what the Civics poll will say today, but I saw even a minus 19 poll that had come out. It's really interesting. We'll take a look at some of the Ohio polls out there and talk about Liz Cheney and where does the GOP go from here. James Carville says majority of GOP voters are really stupid. Does he mean his wife? China shuts down factories due to power shortages. What factories are they shutting down? Lithium battery factories.
Ouch.
And I thought to myself, is that the future of the United States? You know, we said yesterday on the air that the Increase in Inflation Act is an act of, when they came out and said it's going to, you know, lower your electricity costs and everything else. And we said, no, it won't. It's going to increase your electricity costs. That's the whole goal of what Democrats want on it. But could you imagine, can you see a scenario where, because in here, you know, we're going to give money to Mexico, Canada, and the United States if they produce the electric vehicles out there. But in the United States, can you see the fact that we go so much alternative forms of energy because we've seen what's happened over the last 20 years, that you're going to have shutdowns of lithium battery plants that popped up in order to be able to get the subsidies from the federal government, but those companies can't run because the alternative forms of energy cannot produce the electricity to produce the electric vehicles and the electric batteries. It's actually happening in China.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to produce, they're willing to create new coal plants. We're not here.
Right.
I saw the other day again that, well, what's going to happen in the United States is we're going to produce a bunch of nuclear plants. Where?
Where's that going to happen? Yeah. What state, county, town is going to allow that to happen in their backyard?
Yep.
Let's see the list.
So we will get to that. Jim Jordan explains the 14 FBI agent whistleblowers said all 14 of them came before the Mar-a-Lago raid.
Hmm.
We were trying to figure out, where they were at that point, which is really interesting. But 14 different FBI agent whistleblowers, will be interesting to see what comes up now with the whole Mar-a-Lago situation and the fact that the judge will look at it today. Look, here's, you know, the other problem, and I know we've talked about it, but I don't believe I emphasized it enough. It's just something that we sort of glossed over it, but the leaking that has gone on, which we know is the Justice Department leaking. These are all sources in the Justice Department. The only people familiar are the people that work in the Justice Department. And we know there's been false information that's been given out from them, but it looks like the Justice Department is saying we will only let the courts speak for us while they continued to leak information. And one of the things that's talked about is if the judge, and in all likelihood the judge, I would be very surprised if the judge allowed the affidavit to become public.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised. But what's going to happen is you're going to have selective leaks of that affidavit from the Department of Justice after the judge says that. Just the drip, 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 just like we got in Russia collusion. You never get the full story. You simply get bits and pieces of information that don't look good for Trump. But what you get with that is like the movie National Treasure. For every clue you get, there's 1,000 more questions, but the clue only leads you in one direction that ends up being false.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there is an expectation now. If you're on the far left and you are not a fan of Trump, then you're waiting for the DOJ to move on an indictment. Because you see this big show they put on for the raid, and you're thinking, oh, man, it's about to happen, and it's going to happen soon. What if it doesn't? What if they sit on this and say, oh, well, it's an ongoing investigation? They're waiting for something because the January 6th committee is likely done after January of this, going into January of this next year.
Will oil and gas go back up? Interesting interview. I was on Fox News yesterday saying inventories are at record lows. The world inventories, like as low as 1985 and 1986. And that they wouldn't be surprised if, these are some of the analysts out there, if oil prices went back up to $120 a barrel. We'll get to that. The CDC director orders reorganization. I saw a lot of conservatives yesterday, and Republicans, conservatives and or Republicans, yesterday sit there and go, all right, all right, all right. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you're talking about the left reorganizing because they got things wrong. Maybe the whole goal is to clamp down more.
Yeah, right.
I guess we'll see on that. The Associated Press says it's okay to use the term pregnant women.
Oh.
And a whole bunch more.
So I guess they're ready to be canceled then.
I guess so, yeah. Mm. They clarified because, remember, there was the topical guide for transgender conversations, uh-huh, which included this advice. This is a couple of weeks ago. Aim to use the phrase pregnant women only when it's known everyone the term applies to identifies as a woman. The Associated Press has since softened this, announcing pregnant women or women seeking abortions is acceptable phrasing.
Hmm.
Phrasing like pregnant people and people seeking abortions is also acceptable to include people who have those experiences but do not identify as a woman, such as such transgender men and some non-binary people. But the point is, they said pregnant women and women seeking abortions is acceptable phrasing.
Okay.
Now, can you say biological pregnant women?
How dare you bring science into this?
Can you? This is a thing I would ask Associated Press. Can you say pregnant biological women?
The other day, I told you during one of the breaks yesterday, the other day I was online and two different websites, I saw the phrasing, someone who was assigned a male at birth, and I thought, what? And it wasn't a liberal media source. These were companies. And I thought, okay, we've all lost our mind. You can't say biological male. You'll say assigned a male. What do you mean? Like the doctor. Well, I'm just going to decide here for myself.
Let's flip a coin here. Yeah. Can we flip a coin?
Assigned a male. And then I'm laughing and I'm scoffing, and I go to do something else, and it was within an hour of that. I see it again. And I'm like, all right, this is where we are. Throw it out the window.
Yeah, that's a term that's the sex you were assigned at birth.
Uh-huh.
No, the sex you are at birth.
It's so what's next? The person was questionably born a male. Some say the person was born a male. Some claim doctors have claimed that the baby was a male. I mean, that's what has to be next.
Sources say
people familiar with the situation.
People familiar with the situation at the hospital,
yes,
has said after the doctors flipped a coin,
yes,
they assigned the male gender to this baby.
According to sources, I'm sorry, you're checking in. Are you a new patient? Yes, I am. Let's see. Okay, male, female. According to people familiar with the situation, and that would include me.
So we got a great show ahead. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Keep your engine humming in the heat this summer by keeping up with preventive maintenance. Think your PM is complete after your oil is changed? Think again. There's grease, transmission fluids, and gear oil to consider too. Grease, for example, is made of oil, thickener, and additives. It provides rust protection by preventing water spray off and wash off on equipment like the universal joint, fifth wheel, and clutch throwout bearings. It also helps protect major greasing points like tie rod ends, spring pin bushings, kingpin, and the chassis. Today's synthetic oils means more miles between engine oil changes, but greasing intervals aren't growing at the same pace. Your fifth wheel, for example, needs to be greased every 15,000 miles or monthly. Stop into a TA truck service near you to start or strengthen your preventive maintenance program today.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Eric Harley here for a new sponsor, Total Tax, Inc. Total Tax knows how challenging it can be to run your own business. Whether it's just you and your rig on the open road, or if you operate a fleet, Total Tax can help. They've been helping small business owners like you across the USA since 1991 with an experienced and licensed team of financial and tax experts to help keep your business on track and successful. Whether you need help filing back tax returns, resolving taxes you owe, or staying on top of your bookkeeping and current tax returns, think of Total Tax as your business partner providing you with peace of mind while you're on the road. Total Tax is a family-owned business that understands our independent tradesmen are the backbone of America, and they look forward to serving your financial and tax needs so you can keep our country running strong by providing consistent, personal, dedicated, effective, and ethical service to their clients. Total Tax has sustained an A-plus BBB rating for over three decades. Go to TotalTaxForTruckers.com or call 855-920-4121 today and get a free consultation. That's TotalTaxForTruckers.com. TotalTaxForTruckers.com.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in here today and chat and have some discussions, finally, we got some rain here, the most significant rain since, I believe, June 4th.
Yeah, so. It's you know, really the first time that we've had anything aside from pop-up showers, and I was just reading one of the alerts that came across a flood advisory issued for parts of our area. And wow. As long as nobody gets hurt and there's no damage from it, we certainly welcome the rain. And then setting up for next week, it's going to be a very decent rain and could get to a flooding stage, according to some prediction models that I've seen in a couple of different places, actually.
And I was thinking about this on the way in, and I was having a discussion with who was I having that discussion with the other day someone who had no idea. They were talking about the lakes in Texas, and I said, reason we have, so when you land in Dallas, you see all those lakes, they're all man-made.
Mm-hmm.
And the first reason is flooding. Second reason's water. Third reason is recreational water, but most of the water comes from, you know, in the ground. And I said, but they're all there because of flooding, because Texas, because people say, well, it's in a drought, climate change. Oh, it's flooding, it's climate change. No, the reason those lakes exist is because Texas is normally drought or monsoon.
Yeah, we get, you know, if we're in a rainy season. I remember not long, I think it was in the first year or 18 months after actually moving here. I've lived close to North Texas, this area, since I was 16. But when we moved down here, it was about a year, year and a half later, and it was in the fall and winter, and it just seemed like it did not stop raining. I mean, it was bad.
I remember when I moved here in 2000, and I got here in May, and we didn't get rain. Wow. It was way longer than we didn't get rain now. I mean, I think it was like 84 days. Mm-hmm. We went without rain. And I remember the thought process was, it may take a decade to refill these lakes.
Mm-hmm.
By February, everything was full and flooding.
Yeah.
You had drought, then you had monsoons.
Going back several years, the town that I graduated high school from, my parents and in-laws still live there. And for several years, they just didn't get any measurable rain. A couple of showers here and there, but they were in this severe drought for a long mm-hmm. time. My dad sells his pontoon boat because there's nowhere to put in. There's no ramp that's, you know, that's open right. anymore. So a guy shows up with his family. My dad said, well, where are you going to put that boat in? And he said, no, we don't actually live here. We travel a lot, and we're going to go to another part of Texas. And, okay, great. It was about a week later. It started raining, and it rained and rained and rained locals will tell you 40 days and 40 nights because it was right at that amount. And for the first time since I was a kid, since ever, I had never seen the main lake that is there, part of the water system, had been, it was overflowing. The spillway had water going over it. Now, keep in mind, they were using water from the water, recycled from the water treatment plant, coming back to them so they could drink it. That's how bad things had gotten. And in just over a month, it got a lot better.
If you missed what they just said, it'll be on our app and website to hear later this morning. RedEyeRadioShow.com.
See, the pause gets me every time.
Yeah, you got to wait for it.
Every single time the pause gets me from Deep Voice Guy.
Yeah.
All right, 866-90 Red Eye. So did you see Kevin McCarthy yesterday? Because Liz Cheney went after him, and he came out and said, well, to quote your dad, because she was talking about principled leaders, and he said, well, as your dad, I'm paraphrasing here, as your dad said, principle doesn't matter when you lose.
It's like, oh, exactly. Man.
And we have stated, you know, her father, Dick Cheney, coming out with the ad last week supporting her. Dick Cheney would have never approved what his daughter did when he was in Congress.
If it wasn't his daughter.
I know that she, to Democrats and the media, for this particular thing of serving on the January 6th committee, she is Mother Teresa to them. But she will no longer be Mother Teresa when she is no longer in office. When you see some of the articles that have been written by the mainstream media on her, that she was the one that stood up. It's not about standing up if you disagree with somebody. It's what you do. It's the process. And I'm glad that the Wall Street Journal pointed that out yesterday. Also, we pointed it out immediately. We said, look, the problem with Liz Cheney is, to so many conservatives and Republicans in Wyoming, is she lied to them. She lied to them and told them that she was involved in a fair process. and that was a process that had due process. You know, when it wasn't, she was picked by the Democratic leadership because they know that she did not want any form of due process in the January 6th committee, which would mean the advocation of allowing the minority Republicans to pick their own people in order to cross-examine the witnesses and to cross-examine the evidence that was brought forward and bring forth their witnesses and their evidence. One thing most people who call themselves conservative, and we will say the people that actually are conservative, they care about due process. And we know it's not required. It doesn't mean that it's not important to people. In that process, the political due process is not a legal exercise. We understand that. It doesn't mean that people don't look at this and say the whole thing's bogus because you don't have cross-examination of the witnesses and evidence. And then, you know, there were many things she said that I disagreed with, where she did not bring, you know, the full message of a witness or evidence, but the obvious one was her numerous times reading parts of Donald Trump's rally speech without the part where he said, go peacefully. And it's as bad as what you got from Democrat. And the thing is, it reminds any Republican or conservative what they did to Trump in Charlottesville, where they lied by omission. And they still continue to lie years later about what he said in Charlottesville. Democrats understanding and believing that if you repeat a lie 1,000 times, eventually people will believe it. That's why there was such fury at Liz Cheney. She is not viewed. I know. Look, Democrats don't. Democrats know. They know it's not a fair due process political exercise, the January 6th committee. They don't care.
Well, I mean, and their MO is to lie by omission. And in the case of the January 6th committee, the omission is the defense. The omission is leaving out the ability for the other side to call witnesses and have any say-so in this process. And if you say Liz Cheney is the other side, you're sadly mistaken in not being intellectually honest in this situation. This whole idea of, I think it was The Hill that had it, the, you know, Liz Cheney shaking up, you know, the 2024 political landscape. All right, to be clear, she may run for office again, and she may run for president. Do I believe she's going to win? No.
Could she be a spoiler? Possibly, but...
depending on how she enters, that might...
anything is possible. Remember, Trump had a 20% chance of winning in 2016.
He always had a 20% chance of winning. Obama said after the election.
Okay, so people don't know that's where that comes from. Yeah. Obama said that after the election, so...
Yeah.
there was always a 20% chance. No, it was a 100% chance because he won.
He won. He had already won.
The smartest man in the world couldn't figure that out. Hey, we remember. We're not in the bubble of today. We remember when Obama was promoted as the smartest man in the room and one of the smartest men in the world, to which we laughed at that time. I think the focus being on Liz Cheney maybe a little bit off track as to, you know, whether Trump runs and wins in 2024. To me, I look at this and say there are a ton of Republicans that believe in the issues first. They understand that Trump was the one who burst the door down to promote major issues that Republicans believe in. But as you see, there are Republicans, for example, in Georgia, that were willing to go completely against Trump because there are many Republicans in the state of Georgia that believes that Donald Trump and his former attorneys are responsible for the Republicans losing the Senate. And so you've got right now, I believe, from all the figures I see, it's pretty obvious that the Republicans should take the House and by a healthy margin. The Senate, that's up in the air right now. You know, we've mentioned some of the candidates we believe that are weak candidates, and that would be Walker in Georgia, Oz in Pennsylvania, and Vance in Ohio. Now, the poll just came out yesterday from Emerson, which shows Vance still up 3 points because you had this poll, then you had another one done in May, and he's up 45 to 42 over Tim Ryan. All right, which is good. I mean, somebody had as the headline flipped. You know, like Ohio has flipped red.
Yeah,
the great big headlines. It's like it's like, okay, this is one poll. Nobody's at 50 yet. But then you look at to give you an example of what we believe. And again, we don't go by one poll, but you can take and look at a poll and look at, you know, momentum and just the separation of different candidates. If you look at the Ohio governor's race, the incumbent, DeWine, is got a 16-point lead over Whaley. 16 points for governor. The Republican leads in that poll. Vance leads by 3. That's what a bad candidate does. You can still win, but to me, if you want, again, not absolute evidence, but something to throw in as we get more polls down the road to look at it, if that remains the same, that would be the result of a weak candidate. Now, as you get closer, because inflation's still going to be around, and who knows, gas prices may go back up again. I know they have for me, and they have stayed steady for 3 days now, up 22 cents from the low that they were last weekend. But when you see that, and this is really interesting, when you see in Ohio for the presidency, Trump is up 53 to 39 over Biden.
Yeah.
So Trump even has a 14-point lead. The governor has a 16-point lead. Vance with a 3-point lead over Ryan. It's what a bad candidate does. When you're a bad candidate, that's how you can look at it and say, all right, Trump, okay, they want him. Now, this is post-Mar-a-Lago raid, and Trump is running against Biden. But when you see that, that's when you look at it and go, all right. I think that one of the great determinations of whether Trump will run is what happens to the Senate. Can you imagine if Vance, Oz, Warnock all lose and you look at it and they end up 50-50 or even more, 51-49 or 52-48, if the Democrats ever did that. And it was the majority of losses were Trump candidates. If that happens, and I'm not saying that's happens, it's just all hypothetical, if that is, because I don't know how inflation's going to affect how people vote. I don't know how it, when you have poor candidates, and I don't think, you know, Ryan's been there a long time as a congressman in Ohio. I still don't believe he's a great candidate. He's average, but you can tear him apart. He's horrible on the issues, but people care about presentation and how you are and whether you seem like an average normal person sometimes is more important to them, even in times of great strife. In Georgia? Yeah. Does Walker have a chance? Yeah, because Warnock's a bad candidate, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fetterman's a bad candidate in Pennsylvania. And now that he's out more, and now that his past is being brought up, the Republicans could still win all those seats. If they win all those seats and they take the Senate, that's great news for Trump. If they don't win the Senate, then you have Republicans looking and saying, Georgia, you know, in this time right now where we can win the House, but the Senate we can't win because of a lot of the celebrity candidates. And you look at, you know, I would put that for, you know, Oz and Walker, especially. We pick bad candidates and we lose. But that's on Trump. If they lose the Senate for Republicans, that's on Trump. If they win the Senate and those candidates win, that's also on Trump. I mean, that's a good one on Trump, though. And then I think that raises his level of credibility to win if he has those succession of wins. But if they lose the Senate, and it's because of Trump candidates, and Trump is in trouble at that point.
I think the asterisk in that I would put there is that depending on what the DOJ does on this whole raid on Mar-a-Lago, if we don't hear anything between now and November, I think right now you already have poured fuel on the fire, and you've likely empowered or encouraged or energized, whatever you want to say, many people on the right who may have stayed home. Or let's just say they weren't energized to this level. And that could be the game changer of this November. Now, it more likely would have a short-term effect. In other words, it would more likely affect November of this year over November of 24, except if it goes on that long.
Right.
And Merrick Garland is still, you know, dangling this over the head of Trump. We'll see where it goes, but I think it has, and as most things like this do, it has a short-term energy, rarely has a long-term energy, but it can build, and we'll see where that goes. But the problem that they're going to have, the problem that the GOP has right now across the board is messaging. There are a couple of things that we have talked about, and on the big things, the economy and everything else, all of those things are doing the heavy lifting for the GOP. So you keep pointing to inflation in your ads, and you keep pointing to everything that you can, that the border that Biden himself caused. And if you're doing that, a lot of that work is going to happen, you know, again, you're just standing there and pointing. You're the third base coach, and you just tell them to keep running. That's all you got to do is point. And but beyond that, there has to be a greater message about what you're going to do when you gain that power. What you're going to do if you gain the Senate, if you gain the House, and what that means for 24. To get Biden out of office, you're going to have to have that momentum working for you.
Well, you're gonna have to,
for the next 2 years.
You're going to have to message correctly.
That's my whole point. That's where I began. It has to be consistent
because it's
where
not,
the GOP is.
Because it's not going to be legislation that gets you there. Because
you
anything you try to get, Biden's going to veto.
Exactly. So everything that you're promising is going to be directed at 2024.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. James Carville says majority of GOP voters are really stupid. We'll get to that and more.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. If you can't listen live, download our Red Eye Radio app and you can listen whenever you want. Or you can listen live and then later on listen again.
Or you could keep it on a loop. Just walk around doing nothing but listening to our show.
I think it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't question that at all.
You know, when we look out, and this is all because of the, you know, the hype of Liz Cheney will run for president and you know, she will ensure that the Democrats win in 2024. Mm-hmm. I guess we shall see on that. I mean, there are so many variables, and we talked about the fact that, you know, part of Trump's success, if he's going to run again, depends on whether they take the Senate or not. If that can be, if you have a significant majority of the Trump endorsements lose, that combined with what happened in Georgia may turn more Republicans off from Trump. That's a possibility. If they win, well, Trump's value goes way up, especially with Biden as president. But it's such a long time. When you think about what can happen between now and then, in all likelihood, I think it's safe to say that the Republicans are going to take the House. That means there's going to be investigations going into Hunter Biden, which means it's not about Hunter Biden. It's about Joe Biden influence peddling. They're going to be pounding that day in and day out. That's a drip. That's used to be a drip, drip, drip. Now it's more like a nice, fast flowing stream of information seems to be coming out. A couple of stories a week almost. You notice that lately?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a couple of Biden was involved in this, Biden was involved in that. That's not a good look. If you have, for example, and it all depends on, its messaging would be so critical. It's always critical, but it'd be so critical when it comes to next year and the year after. Whether the Republicans just take the House or get the House and the Senate. If they get the House and the Senate, either way, but if they get the House or the Senate and the Senate at that point and Biden's numbers are in the toilet, I do believe that you're going to see much more radicalism come from the Democratic Party, because what they'll say is our leadership has failed us. We need new blood. We need younger blood. And we know how radical the Democrats are right now. And I state this based on the fact of how they voted the last couple of weeks on a bill that actually will increase inflation and raise almost everyone's taxes. And they did it during a time of negative growth, recession, and inflation, what we would call the worst stagflation in over 40 years, which means the majority of the voting public has never dealt with this before. And so if you get, if they're able to effectively communicate, and you think of if Biden doesn't really have any majority to do anything with, the angry Biden will come out, the bumbling Biden will come out, and I believe, especially if inside the White House they wish for him to run again, and he wants to run again, then I think you may have, at that point, with the Republicans winning, you will have a civil war going on inside the Democratic Party, but not to moderate it, because there is no indication. I remember in 2018 when I said the Democratic Party has to moderate. They can't continue to do this and have a political party that seeks to divide. But they've gone way over what I ever thought they could do, and still they have significant power. You still have a significant number of Americans that will vote against their best financial interests. Which, how long will they do that? How long will tribalism, trump your own welfare? Not forever. And so much a year from now could be completely different from the mindset of people, but not, I don't see it in a good way for the Democrats, because inflation isn't going away. So I don't see it, but it could be completely different of how you view it. There may be an all-out civil war at that point. You know, who knows what Biden's numbers would be, even if the Republicans just take the House, because there'll basically be a stalemate, and then Biden, if Biden believes he's winning, he'll be happier. If he believes he's losing and not accomplishing anything, that's when he will get bitter and angry. And that, with the loss of his, mental functions,
mental acuity.
Thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is not going to be pretty, and you're going to have the Democrats at that point. They're going to get louder saying, he needs to get out. He needs to get out. A loss of the House and Senate 6 months from now. It could be 6 months from now, Eric. 6 months from now, people are going to be announcing they're running.
Yeah.
It's going to be that early.
Yeah.
You know, you get 6-8 months from now, you get into spring, early summer of next year, everybody's already on board. You'll have 10 candidates from the Democratic side already expressing interest. And the vast majority, you're not going to have. Here's a question. Who's the moderate?
For the Democrats?
Yeah. Who's Joe Biden can't play the moderate anymore.
No.
Who is the moderate for independents to look at and say, okay, he would be acceptable? There are no moderates left in the Democratic Party. He was perceived as one last time. He's not. He was perceived as one, and now America knows that he's not.
Well, and, you know, this whole idea of Liz Cheney coming in 24 and being the spoiler, a couple of things here. In her bid for reelection this year and the fundraising, a chunk of that money came from outside of Wyoming. Now, you could extrapolate that out. Let's say she wanted to be the spoiler in 24. And assuming she still has any money in her war chest, she would, to run for president, you need a lot of money. So what people would be donating to in that case, what liberals from outside of Wyoming and donors were doing, were trying to reward her for going after Trump on January 6th, right? But it's different when you're being a spoiler, because if you're there to be a spoiler, and there is very little chance, almost no chance, you're going to be in the White House, you're going to win. Donors don't do that during a presidential season. Doesn't mean she'll have zero donors. It just won't be the same dynamic, because it's not for the same reason. And you need a ton more money to run for president. And so if she, I don't know, if she wanted to run as an independent, that's not going to go well for her. Again, you need a lot of money. She's not Ross Perot. She may have a little of her own, but she doesn't have enough to run for president. And so when you look at those dynamics, all right, will it make the news? Well, the liberal media is going to give it all the attention that they can. But it comes down to the confidence in the voter. So then you look at the landscape and you say to yourself, all right, what you have shaping up is, if the Republican Party takes if the GOP takes the Senate and the House, as we pointed out and we alluded to this earlier, there is no veto-proof majority math that you can get to here. It's not, that's not going to happen. So basically, lame duck Biden for 2 years. He's stuck with executive orders, which that's not nothing. But that's, nothing is going to get done. And that means Republicans aren't going to get anything done, which means everything for them has to be about 2024. In order to reverse what Biden has done, they have to have full control after 2024. And that's your messaging. But you have to have the candidate, you know, whoever it is that's going to, all of them that announce next year. If Trump jumps in and this DOJ situation turns out to be as bogus as many of us believe it is, there's a ton of momentum right there. But here's the question. We live in a bubble. How much of that energy is going to translate all the way to 2 years and roughly 3 months from now?
I still believe that because of inflation and incompetence, it multiplies. It just multiplies and gets worse and worse and worse and worse. There's a possibility that, well, 2 years from now is when we'll be just a few months away from the presidential election. That's a long time. That's a long time to have Biden in office. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good. There's a, you know, people would remember Trump's a beatdown because you saw him every day and it was the same thing every day and people just didn't want to see Trump anymore. Yeah, but everything was sort of pretty good before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They didn't want to. They didn't like the show they were getting every day. But hey, the economy's doing okay. Think about this: the Biden show, which is complete and total incompetence, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows he doesn't have his full faculties. Everybody knows it. And who's waiting? Elizabeth Warren. Who's waiting? Pete Buttigieg. Anybody who's waiting, people view as unqualified to begin with. I still think that the biggest thing might not be Trump, but just the absolute insanity and radicalism of the and incompetence of the Democratic Party. Combine that, throw incompetence in 2 years from now. You can't discount that, because incompetence is why Jimmy Carter was viewed as an all right guy. Mm-hmm. But he was viewed as incompetent and couldn't get things done. When you take in not only just incompetence you have, but the problems that we see in our society were caused by the Biden administration, the big problems that we have. They're actually caused by it. You saw the Democrats with their increase inflation bill. They caused the problem and wished to make it worse. You combine incompetence with that and losing. They won't gain. They will lose the House. They may stay. They may keep the Senate. They may gain in the Senate a little bit, but they won't have control to do anything. And at that point, the radicalism, I believe, will come out in the Democratic Party. The radicalism could get so bad, it might even overwhelm the negatives of Donald Trump.
Yeah, it
that
could.
People perceive as
it could.
That's a possibility because they are so radical, and I don't see any turn coming.
Well,
and once I thought they had to, I don't believe they care about that. I think that passing the increasing inflation act showed they don't care.
And I think too, what I mentioned earlier, Biden with his executive pen, and we bring that into play. And when you challenge Joe Biden, his defiance is what reigns.
Yeah.
And I could see him with his executive pen moving on agenda items a lot like he did in the first few days of his presidency on huge agenda items just to spite the GOP. Well, I can't get it done. They're not going to cooperate, so I'm going to do this on my own, thinking he's going to be the hero while destroying his own party's chances in 24 because of the agenda.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on drug and alcohol testing. One of the ways that the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, ensures that only sober drivers are on the road is by requiring motor carriers to conduct random testing. Each year, the FMCSA sets minimum testing rates for both drug and alcohol testing. There are specific rules carriers must follow for compiling the driver roster, drawing names, and completing tests regularly throughout the year. If you are selected for random testing, you must immediately leave for the collection site. You are not allowed to stop along the way or put off the test until later in the day, so make sure you know how to get to the collection site. You should also be aware that your name is returned to the random pool after every draw. So having your name drawn once does not mean you can't be selected again in the next draw. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. If you would like to get in, coming up, James Carville says the majority of GOP voters are really stupid. Interesting enough, he also said this. He said, when he's talking about the Democratic Party, here was his quote: "So much of what has happened in my party is we tend to get defined by some overeducated, totally doofus coastal elites who are out trying to write dictionaries or something unrelated to anybody's life." Talking about the liberal transgender activist movement, I'm assuming.
Yeah, right.
And that kind of stuff has a tendency to be very sticky, to stick with people. It's not who the party is. It's a very small part of the Democratic Party. These people have the ability to irritate. They have the ability to come up with really stupid things like defund the police, the three worst words ever in the English language, maybe. And you know, let's get rid of Abraham Lincoln. That takes a real smart person to come up with that. So we pay while huge majorities of the Republican Party don't believe in evolution. All right, huge majorities of the Republican Party followed Donald Trump, believe in a stolen election, storm the Capitol. Well, it isn't a majority whatsoever. And substantial number of people in the Republican Party are evil. Our people are kind of silly. Their people are actually evil. racism is evil, all right? Misogyny is evil. I'm sorry. A pronoun is, to me, okay, fine. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you want to be a vegan, I don't care. Eat what you want. All right. But that but that's not. That's not the same thing. It is not. Yet the media is addicted to both sidism, whatever the hell that means. Look, there are Republicans that I disagree with. Republicans are not evil. Conservatives are not evil. And it's just not a pronoun.
Yeah.
It is the fact that your party, and it's the majority of your party, wishes to force people. The majority of, may not be the voter, but it's the actual party. Every single one of them. It's mainstream. It's not a few radicals. It's mainstream in the in the Democratic Party to force women to compete against men. That's not a minority of the Democratic Party. It's everyone that voted. Remember on the liberal transgender activist bill, you had roughly what, 98-99% of members of the Democratic Congress vote for it,
mm-hmm.
of the House.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainstream. He's trying to pretend it's not.
Yep. And, you know, and kind of to dismiss that is to, again, ignore what people are really tuning into and tuning out of. That is the mainstream of the Democratic Party.
Regime is in place. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
The Red Eye Radio regime. Welcome. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Now, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's a half hour of James Carville weaving into stories that it's like, just stop it. Just stop it, James. His interview could have been like 5 minutes.
He's just... I don't think any of his interviews have been 5 minutes.
Well, he could have got all the information in, but here's what he said about Democrats. He said that again, most GOP voters are really stupid. They're evil. They're racist. And let's hear a little bit of it here. Here we go.
All right. It was the only majority white part of the Democratic Party. That's very important. All right. They understand that these people have the ability to irritate. They have the ability to come up with really stupid things like defund the police. Three worst words ever in the English language, maybe. And you know, it's, you know, let's get rid of Abraham Lincoln. I mean, that takes a really smart person to come up with that. So we pay what huge majorities of the Republican Party don't believe in evolution. Right? Huge majorities of the Republican Party follow Donald Trump and whatever that insanity is. But somehow or another, we pay a greater price for 11% of our people than they do for 65% of their people. And it's just stunning to a guy like me.
All right. First off, and he talks about the, you know, the election and how many Republicans believe that the election was rigged and or stolen, however you want to say it.
Hmm.
Well, check out the polls of Democrats after 2000. Check out the polls. Remember you and I 2 years later were looking at the polls that believed that Donald Trump was not the legitimate president?
Yeah, right.
2 years after Trump was elected.
Mm-hmm.
So people have short memories, and that's the politics that's played. If you over the last couple of decades, but if you see it, it was all started by Democrats.
Yeah.
And so there tends to be a back and forth that it's rigged, it's stolen, whatever. After COVID, probably more credibility to, as we know, in some states, governors going beyond their authority. And in other cases, legislators never thinking that something like COVID would come up, where the governors would do things that then the opposition would look at and say, yeah, but you shouldn't have done that. And that you see many Republicans now evolving to the rigging instead of stolen terminology. But that's natural. I think that's natural political arena that we're in today, which was started by Democrats claiming that everything was stolen. Starting with 2000, going to 2016, then remember 2018 with the current governor of all the states, Stacey Abrams.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton talking about that it was an illegitimate election. I think still today she still says that about 2016. So it's natural. It's natural you're going to get that same reaction when the other side believes that things were done during COVID. That's going to be a natural thing. Now let's go to the issues, because the issues are what really matter to us. You know, where do the Democrats stand on the issue? James Carville trying to make the case that it's only 11% of Democrats that believed in defunding the police. Is that true? That may be 11% of Democrats that are asked now about it, but what about the party? The Democrat voter votes for those members, even if they don't believe in what those members of the Democratic Party are doing. They may not believe it, but they're voting the people that do in. Defunding the police was mainstream inside of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party votes the most radical agenda. When was the last time any major Democrat except a border state Democrat complained about what Joe Biden is doing on illegal immigration?
Haven't heard anything outside of the border states.
On the liberal transgender activist movement and critical race theory. Where is one major Democrat in the party that has come out against it? It may not have the support of the people that vote Democrat, but it is mainstream inside of the Democratic Party. And those Democrats who claim that they don't believe in those things continue to vote for the people that do. It is mainstream inside the Democratic Party. People don't believe that you should judge. I bet you would find the majority of Democrats don't believe that you should judge people by groups. Yet that has become mainstream inside the Democratic Party. Identity politics, the Democratic voter has voted for identity politics for over three decades now. And they continue to vote that way to have a party that judges people by groups. When was the last major Democrat that came out and said you shouldn't call Senator Tim Scott a black Republican and Uncle Tom? Do you remember one major Democrat coming out?
I haven't heard any of them.
When was one Democrat who came out, one Democrat, who got? There's a lot of Republicans you can find who have criticized Donald Trump. When was the last Democrat to come out and criticize Biden for Biden with what I still think is the biggest lie, even though the whole Inflation Act may become the biggest lie of his administration? But when he came out and looked at the Georgia election law and said it's Jim Crow 2.0 and Jim Crow on steroids, an election law that gives you, 17, 18 days to vote? That you can have no excuse, mail-in voting? And he did it in order to cause racial division based on a lie. Tell me one Democrat, major Democrat, that came out and said the president shouldn't do that. That's race baiting at its worst. Tell me one Democrat that did so. So you may find the polls, and when you ask Democrats in general in polls, do you agree with this? And they say no. Well, they continue to vote for it in their party, and all those things are mainstream within their party. For Carville to call the Republican Party racist when it's mainstream to practice identity politics in the Democratic Party is laughable, and everybody knows it.
One of the many reasons that he is not relevant anymore, because and that the left can't get away with such ridiculous notions anymore is because everybody looks at them going, really? Michael Hayden, former CIA director, on Twitter, basically retweeting somebody else's thought that the GOP is the most dangerous group in the U.S. today. Tell me how. You're a liberal hack. And you're also part of the reason people distrust management when it comes to law enforcement and the intelligence agencies in our nation. You're part of the problem. And this is what they do. The GOP is dangerous. The right is dangerous. Domestic terrorists. I'm sorry. Have you been paying attention to Antifa? Did you pay attention to the riots?
No, actually, they didn't. They pretended it wasn't happening.
Mostly peaceful demonstrations.
Right. I don't think there's even a close comparison. Not that there aren't Republicans I don't disagree with, because I do every day. Not to say that in any organization there aren't stupid people, because you can find them everywhere.
Yep.
But is the message of the Republican Party and most Republicans and most people who call themselves conservatives, is anything that they believe really radical? And we've said this about Donald Trump. When it comes to the issues, the actual issues that you vote for in legislation, where was Donald Trump a radical? Give me one instance. You know what radical is? Radical is lying to the American public about what the generals told you in Afghanistan. Lying to the American public about the terrorist groups that were still left in Afghanistan, and lying that they still existed there when you pulled out in a horrible way. Radical is when, during a time of inflation and negative growth, you spend money and raise taxes and then lie about it when it becomes obvious, even to your own party, that you have decided to punish the people of America more. Radical is when you believe that we should get off fossil fuels, skyrocket the cost of energy, and commit economic, energy, and security suicide in this country by going to inconsistent forms of energy whose prices will skyrocket right through the roof. Those are radical opinions to hold on the issues. Radical is the belief of the Democratic Party mainstream that we should have opened borders. That's main. It may not be mainstream for the voter, but the Democratic voter keeps voting for a Democratic Party that believes it.
Well, and for Carville to say that the GOP is filled with stupid people, he points out how stupid defund the police was, and tell me. And I, by the way, the rank and file allowed that to happen. They were part of that, and now they're screaming, crime is on the rise. If you endorsed that behavior in any way, you're part of it. You created it, and it is your fault.
And the Democratic Party is mainstream behind the view and opinion, even in legislation, that a biological man can be a woman because the biological man says so. Mm-hmm. And that's the ultimate, is when Carville came out and said, Republicans are misogynist. Excuse me? Who has done more to destroy women's opportunities in the last 5 years, starting with Obama, who has done more inside the liberal transgender activist movement to destroy opportunities for women, who have decided that a man can decide the definition of a woman.
The Obama administration basically said, our interpretation of Title IX is that men get to play women's sports.
Yep. Because a biological man can be a woman because the man says so. The Republican Party needs to be as clear on these issues as we have just been. I don't know why they haven't been, but they haven't been. You can't get caught up in all of the side issues. Stick to the 5, 6, 7, 8 issues out there and pound the daylights out of them, and you win. Get sidetracked, you can lose. Decide to put in bad celebrity candidates to run, you may lose even further. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I mean, that's the one thing that, again, that is, I'll call it future frustration. If the Republicans can't win and they have slam dunk on all the issues, mm-hmm. that the American public agrees with them completely on all the issues. And I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a slow peeling off. We've seen it in the Hispanic voting demographic, where they're peeling off because they finally realize that these people on the issues, you know, don't stand where we stand. And so you are starting to see that. I want to see much more of it, because that's the one thing, the most frustrating thing. And it's not political for me. Everything's political, but it's not because I don't care whether they're called the Republican Party, Conservative Party, whatever. I just want to move the right policies. And the vast majority of Americans agree with where the Republicans stand on the vast majority of issues, which means they should win and win big for the next couple of decades. But will they?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He is Eric Harley. Good morning. Welcome. You know, I was just looking at some of the polling. Oh, by the way, download our Red Eye Radio app, because if you can't listen live, or if you can listen live, listen when we're live and then listen when we're not live. Listen all the time. As Eric said, put it on loop. Fascinating here when you look at the generic congressional vote, that when it's likely voters, Republicans are in the lead. When it's registered voters, it's a tie, or Democrats are in the lead. Look at every poll that's a likely. Trafalgar came out with a poll. If that is true, like Trafalgar came out with a poll the 14th or the 16th, 1,091 likely voters. Republicans up 5. There'll be a massive swing. If that's true, there's a massive swing in the House.
Yeah.
And then you see registered voter poll by Politico, Morning Consult, Democrats plus 4, but that's registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats plus 6, and the other registered voter from Economist YouGov. Then Rasmussen, likely voters, Republicans plus 3. Fox News, registered voters, a tie. Insider Advantage, likely voters, Republicans plus 1. Monmouth, and this goes all the way back. This goes back to late July, early August. Registered voters, Democrats plus three. CBS News Battleground Tracker, likely voters, Republicans plus two. Every single likely voter poll taken in the last month gives the Republicans the advantage.
Yeah, I think, too, what you can't account for is voter apathy on the left, which obviously benefits the Republican Party. And if that is the case at the midterm, if Democrats are staying home, which I think there is a growing case for that, because if you look at the border state Democrats who are voting Republican, some of them for the first time, then while you can't bring in all Democrats to say, okay, they're going to cross over and vote red, you can certainly believe that many of them, the other Democrats, at least won't vote blue, which means they won't show up. If the voter turnout on the left, if voter apathy, and I don't know that, by the way, I don't even know apathy is the correct word. Rejection?
Anger, frustration?
Yeah.
The big wild card here is the fact that we saw what happened in a presidential election when a president was viewed as incompetent and inflation just was there year after year after year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what Reagan did at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to 94. 94 and the huge change in Republicans in that race. Nobody saw that coming. The difference is most elections are about the abstract. Even Trump in 2016 was about the abstract. It's what I will do, or excuse me, here is the problem. And the American public went, okay, he's hitting on the problem. He's hitting on the economy. He's hitting on American jobs. He's hitting on illegal immigration. And those are the two major things that he really hit on, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, he did it in a very populist, in a populist way. Because Donald Trump came in and when he won on the economy and trade agreements, he was extremely populist.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But in action, he wasn't as populist as he was portrayed. Still today. It's funny because I meet people today. Well, you know, Trump got rid of NAFTA. And it's like, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. He goes, no, he didn't. The USMCA is 98-99% the exact same as NAFTA. He mellowed on that. One of the reasons, and you got Larry Kudlow in there, and Steve Moore was part of the team and all that, and they helped to, you know, push the Navarros back a little bit. You know, people like Navarro, you know, for example, Peter Navarro. And so he was not as populist when it came to it. Now, he did things I didn't agree with, you know, causing the mini trade war between, you know, Europe and the and Canada wasn't necessary. You didn't need to do that. But for the most part, what he did, I agreed with him because he did mellow. He became more of a conservative on a variety of issues, including, I think, if you looked at a Trump 10 years ago when he was more Democrat and people were wondering whether he was pro-choice or pro-life or whatever, on regulation, on reducing regulations, things like that. He was extremely conservative on that. But for the most part, you look at Trump on the vast majority of the issues, and Trump was he promoted himself to win in 2016 as a populist, and by the time you got to 2020, it was just, you know, what was the actual message? The actual message was the Democrats are out to get me, mm-hmm. which they were,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't the same message, in my opinion, that he won on in 2016. It wasn't as powerful. Now, you look at what's going on right now. Can a Republican craft a message that is more powerful than even Trump in 2016? Yeah, because it's not abstract. None of it's abstract. None of it's, here's a problem, I'm going to solve it. People feel the problems now.
Yeah.
And it's across the board. It's everybody, as we have said, in a recession. Or if you see people that, you know, because you see the blue-collar worker was more attracted to Trump. Why? A lot of blue-collar workers lost their jobs. And Trump was going to bring them back. But still, the vast majority of people who wanted a job were working in this country. Still, people who want to work, they can find a job right now, even mm-hmm. with Biden. Mm-hmm. Problem is inflation is killing them. Inflation is the one thing that hits everybody. It's real. It's not abstract. It hits you every single day. And then you start paying attention saying, well, you know, not as only inflation, but, you know, what else is going on? Oh, illegal immigration over here. What are they doing in our schools? You know, critical race theory. That was an abstract concept. Identity politics with the Democrats, abstract concept. It wasn't affecting me in my daily life. Liberal transgender activist movement, abstract concept. I'm against it, but hey, it's not in my schools. Well, now it's in your schools. Now you're actually fighting it. All these things have become real. They're not abstract anymore. And when you go back to Reagan's huge victory in 1980, it was more economic, and the view that the Carter administration was weak because Iran had our hostages. And not that Afghanistan isn't big because American soldiers got killed. And there are a core of Americans that are extremely upset with what happened then. And there's also the view that that shows his incompetence, Biden's incompetence, when it comes to things outside of domestic issues. But on domestic issues, everything is real now. Everything, illegal immigration becomes real now because it's in your local papers. It's in your local papers now in New York. It's in your local papers in Washington, D.C. Yes, Texas. Yes, Arizona. But now, because it's hit because of what the governors of Arizona and Texas have done, now it's become an issue that the mainstream media is covering, all these illegal immigrations now in New York, because now it's affecting liberal cities. So all of a sudden, with inflation, everything becomes less abstract and more real. Everything is viewed as a problem. On the culture wars, the culture wars aren't anything close to critical race theory and the liberal transgender activist movement. Because critical race theory is the racist philosophy, the critical race anti-racism, they call it, which is racism. We all know it, has become embedded not only in governments and local governments, it's become embedded in some school districts, in companies, and it's the concept that all white people think this way, which then what's the opposite? All black people must think this way if all white people think this way. And the liberal transgender activist movement is now, it's become, you see it. You see it in sports. It's headlines. Women have lost opportunities. Now it's in your school district. And all of a sudden, everything, the cultural issues are no longer abstract. They have come to your doorstep, as well as all of the financial things that are in the negative caused by inflation. We haven't dealt with that. I don't know a time. The only thing that came close to it is Reagan. But still, the cultural issues hadn't come to the door at that point. And well, so and I don't know how the, I don't know. I tend to think that that's what still spells doom for the Democrats.
And these issues aren't small issues. They're not abstract issues like, okay, should we move toward. These are things that are happening right now, and the reason inflation is such a huge deal is because it diminishes everybody's buying power. Everybody is affected. The CEO of Walmart making the comment about high earners the other day. look, their data shows high earners are making different choices. Of course, the greatest impact is on low and middle income. But this is the problem, is that this goes to your very core instinct of survival. Being able to have enough food. Being able to afford shelter. All of these things are threatened during inflation. All of these things change the psychology of everybody, and it's been going on for far too long, and the left ignores it. The difference is that, and we talked about it in 2016, Trump identified the problem. This is what's going on. These are the issues. When you look at what's going on right now, the problem is it can't be ignored, except the left believes it can. We will change the definition of recession. Inflation is transitory. Inflation isn't going to be a big problem until it is. Oh, sorry. What we meant was it will be a big problem. And everybody in the party is part of it. Joe Manchin included. In fact, Joe Manchin, one of the best examples of trying to make people believe he's a moderate. And he keeps doing the same thing.
Well, and you look at that, too. You look at the, you know, passing this bill that they couldn't even convince 50% of Democrats would lower inflation. Even Democrats know that it wouldn't. And they not only do they pass it, with 100%, every single Democrat that had a vote in this voted to increase inflation and raise taxes. Every single Democrat. And then they celebrated and cheered it. That's an example. You know, we talked about James Carville earlier. That's how radical this Democratic Party is when you think about it. And then they lied about it. And everybody, including Democrats, no, they lied about it because nobody buys, not even Democrats. Well, close to 80% of Democrats don't believe that it lowers inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable. These are things that just you don't see things like this. So when you look at in November of 2020, you look at the polls 3 months out and you say, are they accurate in any way? Does a registered voter poll mean anything? Does a, you know, is should we be going much more by looking at the people that are actually incentivized to vote and have voted in the past and probably will vote again to get an idea of what's going to happen? But I've never seen in my lifetime where you've had on the domestic issues, both the cultural issues that the vast majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Democrats, are against the cultural issues that are being promoted mainstream by the Democratic Party. Identity politics, critical race theory, the liberal transgender activist movement. You don't see that and then inflation and negative growth at the same time. That's across the board. That hits you in every single aspect of your life when you wake up. Oh, right now, my kids got to go to school. What are they teaching them? Oh, you and I talked about with school reopening in a lot of districts already across the country, including Texas, that all of a sudden we're going to see the people going to school board meetings to protest the things that are still going on in many school districts across the country. You know, you saw the one school district, what, outside of Washington, D.C., where they're still going to mask. You saw thousands of kids as young as, 4 years old.
Yeah, right.
In school. There's no reason to do that. And so all those issues, even those type of cultural issues, come back at you. But it's in every aspect of your life because of inflation and because these radical issues now have come to your school. Nobody is immune to them. We haven't seen this. I've never seen this kind of the number of issues of this kind come down where they're no longer abstract. They're real in your life. And how will the public react? I cannot see them reacting positively towards Democrats.
And by the way, on these issues, you don't have to go to a conspiracy theory website to find the details on them. They're out there in the open, happening every single day. And the left is making all of these things real.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, latest economic news on retail sales. We will get to that. By the way, hello to Eric and Amy on their way to Ohio listening to Red Eye.
All right. Hello. Hello. And thank you for listening.
Yes. And, well, if whoever's in the passenger side, hopefully we only put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
And how dare you fall asleep during our show? That right is reserved for our production staff.
You know, we talk about the confluence of events that that might affect the November election, and then you extrapolate out to 2024, and you think about, you know, 2 years from now with the Republicans, most likely, I don't see how they lose the House. I just don't see it. It's just things are too bad. And you and I both looking at the different polling numbers out there, the president's, he had a couple of good weeks, and now it's being reversed on the majority of the polls. You're seeing it move in the opposite direction again, back to the real bad numbers that he had before. And I don't see it. I don't know what's going to bring it back. Interesting, we'll get to some of the analysis also following the bottom of the hour on oil prices and gas prices and where they may go. But when you look at this, think about if the Republicans, especially in the House, take over, and the pounding you're going to hear on Joe Biden. And remember, the pounding is going to be on the accusations from Republicans of influence peddling. There's nothing Americans hate. The one thing that Americans hate is inflation. The other thing they really hate is when they believe there's influence peddling from a politician, whether they voted for him or not. That's one of the things that people really dislike. You go through another 2 years of that, Biden can't run.
No.
I don't think he can run anyway,
no.
But he can't run at that point.
The development of conservative talk. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Throughout the months of August and September, hey, coming up next month is National Truck Driver Appreciation Week, by the way. And we like to show our appreciation to America's truck drivers for doing such a great job. Good times and bad, they keep this country rolling. They are the backbone of the economy, and truckers, we thank you for everything that we do. But this month, the next month, we're just taking some time throughout these months to say hello to some drivers out there, including Joel in Somerdale, Alabama. He drives for All Pro Distributing, and he's been driving for 10 years. And thank you, Joel, for being out there. We appreciate the job that you do. And we also appreciate our sponsors for making all this possible. They include Shell Rotella, Denny's, Pilot Flying J, Mercer Transportation, Motel 6, House Products, and the St. Christopher Truckers Relief Fund. Thank you, truckers. We greatly appreciate it.
Breaking news. Ron DeSantis has gained a huge endorsement.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Grandma Gaga.
And no worse. And Trump has lost the endorsement of this person.
And that person being?
Alex Jones now supports DeSantis. A week after the lawsuit.
Yeah.
So far there has been no comment from the DeSantis.
There might not be one.
From DeSantis.
People. There might not be one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there might not be one.
I saw that story yesterday. It's like...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, thank you.
He's going to get asked.
We're okay.
You know he's going to get asked the question.
Uh-huh.
The reporter will ask him that.
Right, of course. Yeah. All right. Fine.
By the way, Alex Jones said he was pressured to support Trump.
Pressured?
Yes.
Pressured?
Yes, that's what he says. Yeah.
By?
Well, just everybody, because everybody was behind.
Huh. So he doesn't stand for his own convictions?
Apparently not.
Hmm. Okay. You're just going to go with the flow.
Let me get excited. I already moved on from the story, and so I've got to go back. I got to go find the story again as to exactly what he said. I was going to tell you why, and I went, yeah, but I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or...
Well, you know, historians will...
He, okay, I'm
will
sorry.
...write about this endorsement for many years to come.
he pig-headedly, quote, pig-headedly supported Trump a few years ago.
Pig-headedly?
Yes.
Well...
Even though I disagreed with his warp speed.
I don't care enough to ask, actually.
I do like, and these are some friends of mine who would not get the vaccination. They said, you got it? And I said, yeah. They said, why? I said, because I trust Trump. Oh, man, that just drives him nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet.
I trust. All right, so I got to tell this story very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told it on the air about going to get a flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it because it was actually pretty humorous,
right?
Because I got the notification from the pharmacy saying, you know, come get your flu shot. And so I, you know, made the appointment just to make sure I could walk in and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, they said, okay, you get the old man shot. They said, but we suggest you don't take it now. We suggest, because you're older, you get it at the end of September and beginning of October. Therefore, it, you know, lasts longer through the...
Right.
Because you're probably outdoors more, and the flu season really isn't big right now. It'll get worse during the wintertime, so we suggest that. So I had been on the... When I saw the meme a couple of weeks ago, I just love the meme. And it said, my God, I'm the same age as all these old people.
Yeah.
So on my personal Facebook page that I allow some listeners on, but I mean, it's not, I don't really pound politics. I'm not going to argue on Facebook. I just don't, number one, I don't have the time. We talked about that on social media when it first came out. I remember one time arguing, and it was with Robbie Rist, who used to play in a band, The Actor. Voice guy who used to play in a band with my buddy Paul Pope out of Cleveland. And Robbie Rist was Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch and Ted Baxter's son. He was the voice of Michelangelo on the Mutant Ninja Turtles, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was killed in Sharknado 1.
It was a noble death.
Yes, it was.
Death by a commercial size air conditioner compressor.
Yes, yes.
Dropped on him.
And really, a very good guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
People, when you say really, go, yeah, he's really, really, he's great guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fun to watch, a great entertainer on stage, but became super liberal when he was in California. Now, mm-hmm. he has moved to Florida. I don't believe it's changed his opinion, but he has moved to the state of DeSantis.
Mm. Going to be a part of that big blue wave. the only blue waves in Florida right now are the ones that are actually hitting the shore.
So why did I bring Robbie into the...
You had a debate with him years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't debate on... So thank you for setting me straight on where mm-hmm. my mind is going here. See, I am getting old. Mm-hmm. And we started arguing at noon, and by midnight was when we finished. It was 12 hours. And I went, I got to stop this. And nobody, it's like nobody would concede the argument. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so from that point, I just said, okay, I'm not going to really argue on social media. So I decided to put it on and tell the story about going to get the flu shot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when did I become the age of all these old codgers? You know, it was supposed to be a joke. Mm. You know, that was it. And so for some reason, I don't take the flu shot. Somebody, you know, wrote to me and it was, I don't take the flu shot. It's like, fine, that's cool. Freedom of choice. Then I have a guy who I used to work with 40 years ago who wrote, oh, no, it's not freedom of choice. You were brainwashed. This is the flu shot now. This isn't COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The flu shot.
Yeah.
And I just said, look, don't go there. You don't know. And I said, just don't go there. And then the other person who had challenged me, a listener that I allowed on, you know, to be one of my Facebook friends, came on and just said, no, he's right. And I started writing. I just went, you know, you people, this is the height of arrogance. You have no idea any of my medical conditions. You don't know my history. That type of arrogance of people judging you. If you don't wish to get any of the vaccines or shots, go ahead. Do not judge my medical decisions based on 100% pure ignorance about how I came to that conclusion. Number one, I didn't want to open it up to that debate to begin with. And then, you know, and I wrote that down. I said, so respectfully, just drop the topic. Oh, this woman comes back at me cursing like, and I just went, fine, everybody blocked. We're done.
Yeah. You know,
if we've always said, you know, if you make your medical decisions and I'm not going to judge it because I don't know your medical history, but don't you damn judge my medical decisions based on your complete ignorance of my medical history, my conditions, my communications with my doctors about what I should do and what I should not do. That is all based on science and odds.
Well, you know, this is the problem, is that there seems to be, and it's, of course, all over social media, but there are too many people that have a tendency to want to get in and, I don't know, somehow take a high road based on their choice versus your choice on a medical decision.
Yeah.
I had this guy telling me, you know, you need to get the flu shot. You need to get the COVID shot. You need to get the COVID booster. And I'm like, look, get out of my face, doc. And so it's all these people who think that they are the last word. I mean, it was in his office and it was during an exam. But nonetheless.
And the fact is, you got the shot.
Yeah. No, it was just a joke. And so the entire, but on no, social media.
No, I mean from the person that you said was harassing you.
Yeah. No, it was my doctor, which was the joke.
It was all a joke. It wasn't true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but it is true that people on social media believe that they're going to take the high road based on their choice of what their health is versus what your choice of your health is. How dare you take cholesterol medicine? What? You're taking something for arthritis? Spit out that aspirin. I mean, seriously, where do you get off?
I know. To me, it's the height of arrogance based on complete and total ignorance. And again, that's not, you know, I don't argue on Facebook, especially is for friends and people that I know, and I'll allow listeners on, but they sort of know I really don't get into political discussions on it. If you put something that's harmless, I'll let it there, but I'm not going to debate back and forth with you on it. But don't attack my medical decisions of what I've decided is best for myself based on ignorance because you don't have a clue as to why I made those decisions.
Well, no, I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you don't believe in them, okay,
fine.
I respect that. That's fine. Yeah. You make the choice for your health and or routine, and I'll make the choice for mine. And it's none of your damn
business. Right. Exactly. It's
bought out.
The thing is, I was just doing it as a joke.
Right, that's the whole thing.
I posted on just a joke.
You're just posting something.
I'm posting something to say.
To be lighthearted.
Right. I don't like getting old.
Right.
That's basically was the message that, oh, they're telling me I'm old. All these people are telling me I'm old. When did I get to the age of all the old codgers out there? And again, 99% of people got the joke.
Right. But there's always that person that has to jump in and be the spoiler. I mean, they really do.
You know, there's different flu viruses, and it might not work.
Yeah.
And next
time, and I don't get on Facebook anymore. But one time, I posted on, and it was on Mother's Day, and it was a quote: "Don't make me come back there." And then the quote was attributed to every mom ever, right? And every mom in the history of moms. And this friend of mine, you know, old friend of mine, that he's guy he used to work with, he says, no, not my mom. My mom never threatened physical violence. And then I just replied, well, maybe she should have.
I remember very quickly when Tiger Woods, remember when he had to apologize and his mother was there?
Yeah.
And I said, my mother would have never been there. She would have never. You embarrass the family.
Yeah, don't bring me into this. This is you.
You deal with it on your own.
Yeah.
And some woman started attacking my mother. I can't believe your mother wouldn't support you in a thing. No, not if I did. She'd always support me. She's not going to publicly be out. That's on me to take care of it. It's like my mom told me when I was a kid. You go to jail, I'm not bailing you out.
Support you is when you got cancer.
Exactly.
Not when you do a bunch of things deliberately that destroy your family.
Oh, so.
She should be there to support you. Yeah, she raised me to know better than to do this. She was there first. That's how it works.
I'm afraid to mention the weather now on Facebook.
See, this is why I can't. I'll just have zero friends when it ends up. This is why I don't get on Facebook.
Well, you really don't have that many, though. To begin with, so
that's because I've told them all they're stupid.
I'm saying that me
they're morons.
866-90 Red Eye.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90 Red Eye.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, some economic numbers out there yesterday. Retail sales flat.
Mm-hmm.
And flat means with inflation because, and by the way, they when they say flat, they don't even include the car sales out there, which was down significantly last month. So when they say flat, they mean negative because inflation will have taken a significant portion of that.
Right. It is not adjusted for inflation.
Right.
So when you do account for inflation, that means you've got people buying fewer things, retail things.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.